Hello and welcome to this episode of the Yellow and Blues podcast. We're back after a brief hiatus for the Christmas and New Year. As usual, I'm joined by my co-host Venkat. Hello Venkat, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you and all the listeners as well, Srini. I think looking forward to an year of fantastic cricket.
Lots to talk about, you know, with the IPL auction, a bigger IPL, a World Cup, a potential India qualification to the World Test Championship. We'll talk about that. Some injuries and things like that. Let's look at, like, you know, how India's World Cup team will shape up for the year ahead. There's the Women's T20 World Cup also, you know, February, possibility of a Women's IPL starting this year. So yeah, quite a bit of cricket to look forward to, especially Indian cricket to look forward to in the next year. Good place probably to start, you know, in terms of maybe like get the bad news out of the way, talking about injuries and stuff like that. I think Rishabh Pant's injury has really come in at a very, very bad time. Our best wishes and prayers with Rishabh Pant, but it was a very, very unfortunate timing for injury at the beginning of this year.
Yeah, I was, I learned it from Twitter, of course. There is good that BCCI kind of took over the expenses and, you know, are looking after him, but it does look like, you know, there is a lot more to it than what meets the eye, and probably, yeah, thoughts and prayers, wishing him all the best for speedy recovery. But unfortunate timing. With I'm not so worried about IPL, but with the WTC and the ODI,
The World Cup, because, like, you know, it does look like, you know, based on what we've been reading so far, it looks like the road to recovery is a long one.
Yeah.
Simple things like, you know, just looking at Bumrah in terms of, you know, who's had like a playing injury, you know, nothing outside, like, you know, the way Rishabh Pant said, you know, just looking at Bumrah's injury, it's almost, when was it, like the T20 World Cup in October. He was kind of injured before that. He came back for the T20 World Cup, and he's basically been off from that World Cup onwards, missed so much cricket, and looks like he will also miss the Australian series, Test series as well.
Yeah, it does look like that. I think, there were comments, I don't know how much I subscribe to that, that he could have, you know, had a driver or whatever, given how important it is for him to be okay. But there will be all these comments, and hindsight is, you're always wiser, you know. Hopefully he can come back. Is a very important asset for Indian cricket team, especially the tests, Ashwini. I think that's where his presence will be missed if he doesn't make it to the test, which it does look likely. But I think he was an enforcer in the middle order. I think that's where we would need some firepower. But luckily, let's see, India does have deep reserves, so hopefully they can tap into something.
Yeah, I mean, he was definitely, like, you know, from a batting perspective, he did bring in fear in terms of when he came into bat in the test match. I agree with you. I think, like, you know, he was probably, people think about Rishabh Pant and they think, like, you know, this unorthodox shots and everything else, and you think, oh yeah, he'd be a great T20 and ODI player. But Rishabh Pant was more at home in the test format than he was in the ODI and T20 formats.
Yeah. Of course. And I think he's that unique breed of players who have performed really better in tests. Like Sehwag comes to my mind. You know, he was not that big a success in, you know, short formats as you would remember. Probably it's a bias against how much you get to see a player and how they kind of prize you out of difficult situations. But let's see. I mean, yeah, we can only hope.
Yeah, I mean, just talking about that, you know, back in, I think, At the end of our last recording of the podcast, no, it was then the Bangladesh Test series, which we didn't cover.
Yeah.
When while we were at the break again, he Rishabh Pant was instrumental, you know, in terms of scoring another 90 or missing out on another 100, you know, yet another 100. So it is like we've obviously seen, you know, in Australia last year, in England when he was over here, his contribution in terms of the Test arena have been so much significant in the last few years. So I think he will probably be a definitely big miss over the next four tests against Australia, and potentially if India win those four tests, there is an opportunity to, like, you know, qualify for the World Test Championship in the summer. So yeah, I think, and then obviously there is the World Cup. You know, kind of who knows how, you know, things will be. Or I'm sure Rishabh Pant will probably get another opportunity in 4 years' time to play another World Cup, but obviously this one was a home World Cup, so it would have been a special one in terms of that. But that's just the way it goes, you know. Sometimes.
Yeah. So the two tests were very interesting, you know, towards the end. I mean, I think the second one kind of gave a bit of butterflies, 145/7 chasing. You know, we just won by 3 wickets, but it does goes to show how crucial, you know, you need everybody to fire. But from a WTC point of view, I think because South Africa lost with Australia, I think we are in a slightly better situation.
Yes, we are a slightly better situation, but I think we still need at least
you
three
need to win tests. 3-1 or better. I think that's what you need to win. If the series ends in a draw, I think then we will have trouble. So I think this kind of adds a lot more gravity to that series. I think everybody, and I think Pat Cummins also said that we are not just going there. I think I remember reading something where he said we are taking it very seriously. So sure, they are coming here
I think I think the 2-2 will all 2-2 will also work for India. That's assuming, like, you know, New Zealand or Sri Lanka going away to New Zealand, and they need to lose in New Zealand, and South Africa have a home series against West Indies, and if they don't win, and there's obviously a little bit of permutation combination. I think the simplest thing is for India to win 3 tests, and that's that. You know, India will progress. Yeah. would be good, like, you know, India versus Australia in the summer here.
And therein lies my worry, is because when you put India under pressure, I mean, the tests so far didn't lack much. You know, what do you call pressure? Of course, there is pride and this and that, but you could easily play for a draw. Whereas now that option, I think, is for both teams. Australia would want to secure as well as India. So it's going to be very interesting. And Australia haven't performed very badly on spinning tracks. They've been brilliant. So it will be a team to watch out.
It's always, isn't it? Australia always look to, you know, when they come to India as the kind of final frontier for everyone to, like, you know, conquer and win in India. It's a big thing. More often than not, Australia get hammered when coming to India. So,
just talking about Australia team very briefly, what 195 getting declared reminded me of the famous declaration from the current Indian coach.
Yeah.
Rahul Dravid as a captain. Wow, Tendulkar, I don't think he forgave him. But that 194 was in the
194. Yeah, that was, like, you know, it's lots of waters pass under the bridge. And this one, yeah, this one's interesting. And in fact, the irony in this one though was the fact that the match actually ended in draw in rain. So you look at it and think, you know, well, you might as well have left Khwaja to get a double 100, but. Yeah. That's just the way it goes, you know. I don't think, especially after a series win, you know, I think it would have been irrelevant for Australia to think, like, you know, it's not that they needed a win or anything like that, or they needed to draw. So I'm sure they could have let him get his double century, but anyway, that's gone, you know. just going back to the sort of, you know, just back, you know, obviously we just mentioned the fact that, you know, Bumrah is unlikely to be available. One of the other ones from an Australian perspective as well, it seems like Cam Green may not be available as well for Australia. That would have been an interesting one, you know, Cam Green, in terms of having, was it briefly, like, you know, he was the highest paid pick in the IPL before Sam Curran trumped him.
Sam Curran just shot past.
we'll touch on the IPL auctions in a bit as well, and look at the CSA squad as well. But yeah, so we know what's at stake for India in terms of the WTC. I know, and just kind of moving around and talking about a few other things from a news perspective for India. Looks like the selection committee is now back in place with Chetan Sharma, who seemed to have been sacked after the T20, back again as the selectors.
Yeah,
head selector. Anyway, so it's an interesting list in terms of the selectors.
Yeah. Shiv Sundar Das, was it? Shiv Sundar Das.
I think Salil Ankula, Chetan Sharma, Shiv Sundar Das.
Yeah.
Who was the other one?
Subrata Banerjee and Sridharan Sarath.
Yeah. Quite a sort of varied thing. I mean, again,
I hope Shiv Sundar Das. I don't know if you've seen him bat, but I hope he doesn't pick people on the same angle. Then we will be like playing. 10 overs, 50 runs would be a blistering strike rate in T20s. And, but let's see. I mean, I'm positive, but I think BCCI off late has been they had received 600 applications, I suppose, for the
which is like, you know, which is a surprise for me. Yeah. I mean, 600 applicants, even though the criteria sort of, you know, said, like, you know, they should have either played like 7 test matches or 30 first class matches, or 10 ODIs and 20 first class matches, either options kind of thing, and retired 5 years. So 600 people actually applying, and I think there were some other criteria as well, as in, like, you know, these people were, who, I wonder if this was actually like genuinely 600 people, or just like, you know, people like you and me as well decided to apply, saying, let's just apply.
Yeah.
So you can get anybody. So anyway, at least the good thing is there is a selection committee now, you know, to watch the games. The Ranji Trophy is in full swing.
But I think, you know, there is another view of me which says, I think the coach, the NCA director academy, I think they are more powerful in terms of, I mean, of course, there's selection committee, but the good thing is the captain and the coach have a say in that team. So I think these guys are doing the picking up, and the ultimate decision, I think, is with the with the captain and coach, is how it seems to be, based on what I feel, but I could be completely wrong.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing, sort of talking about, like, you know, captain, coach, selection committee, I know we hopped about this a lot on our last episode of the podcast around what is India's identity, you know, currently. And it's, again, this year will probably show, it's like, you know, we talked about those 4 test matches. You know, under Virat Kohli, you clearly know India would have gone for those 4 test matches, you know, complete attacking. I'm still not sure, like, you know, Rohit Sharma's way, what is his kind of view, or what is Rohit Sharma's template in terms of, as a captaincy, you know, Rohit Sharma, Rahul Dravid combination. The test we played in England, the test we played in Bangladesh as well. Again, Rohit Sharma wasn't there in that series, and it was obviously KL Rahul who actually captained it. So it just doesn't feel like, you know, we've seen Rohit Sharma's captaincy properly in the test arena yet. So fingers crossed, you know, this series will kind of give us a template in terms of that. On the other hand, the T20's sort of captaincy, it doesn't seem to have been officially handed over from Rohit Sharma to Hardik Pandya, but it seems to have been handed over to Hardik Pandya now as the new. So India have almost got like a split captaincy with Rohit Sharma doing Test and ODI and Hardik Pandya doing the T20s.
It's strange because he said, I'm not giving up on the format. I mean, I went through his this thing, but clearly, I think very clearly, there is a camaraderie that I think Srikanth also spoke about in his interview. I think Ashwin touched upon this as well. As an active player, to be commenting on captaincy was a big deal, I suppose, in an interview. So I think definitely Pandya seems to galvanize the team in a much better way than Rohit. He took the charge, he opened the bowling. So I think he leads from the front, almost an Indian Ben Stokes equivalent. But let's see. I mean, I think the team did get themselves out of troubled waters a couple of times, and it was good to see that. So I would rate, given what I've seen so far, Hardik Pandya is a better captain from what we have seen, at least how the team feels.
Yeah, both in, away sort of in Bangladesh as well as now here against Sri Lanka. We obviously since we're talking about the captains and stuff, we might as well talk about the series, ongoing series, like that's just finished in terms of 2-1, and obviously the ODI series start. We'll touch on the ODI series also in a bit. But yeah, the two interesting, he actually put the team under pressure or put them in different situations, with the sort of first game in Mumbai, where he said, "Oh yeah, we were anyway looking to bat first, even though dew plays a big factor in the second innings." And to actually then come and let Akshar Patel bowl that last over, sort of a bit of confidence, putting India under pressure and then sort of pulling it. It was quite a bold move in terms
It
of
was
the way
definitely.
Hardik Pandya did. Obviously, the second T20 didn't go quite to plan. I mean, especially the amount of no balls and free hits from Ashdeep. It's again one of those things you think, Ashdeep coming in after a period of, I think, after a break, looked quite ringrostry in terms of the game. And yeah, it. I think it was the first over where he bowled it's just one delivery went for 14 runs because he bowled three consecutive no balls, and three hits and everything else. It was a wake up sort of call, but then the third T20, Suryakumar Yadav's 100 put to bed. He's just churning out hundreds in T20,
Was watching a stat that it was a graph. I can't explain in a podcast, but he was way ahead of Jos Buttler. Who was the nearest competitor in terms of the strike rate, as well as I think only Andre Russell has a higher strike rate, but he has a far lesser average at about 40 T20 innings or whatever that is. And the number of centuries is staggering. So yeah, I mean he's in a good place. He I don't know if you w watched or heard the interview with Rahul, and I think they kind of he feels settled. I think you need players who are settled in the team. I think I don't get a feel that even in ODI as well as in except you can say Virat Kohli, Bumrah, and now Suryakumar Yadav in T20. Of course Rohit is the captain, but otherwise you don't have an automatic pick, either it's injury or whatever. So yeah, talking about Suryakumar, he's definitely earned that right. And I think Harsha Bhogle was saying he was the best T20 player across world cricket right now.
Yeah, he definitely is kind of there. I mean, the bowling attack as well, slightly you can see, it's transitioning. in terms of the T20, you know, Ashdeep coming in, Umran Malik, it's slowly beginning to move away from, you know, obviously Bumrah, if he's fit, will obviously go into the T20 squad in terms of that. But maybe it's more like, you know, whether Bumrah needs to go into the sort of James Anderson mold of becoming a predominantly test bowler, maybe bowling white ball, sort of, you know, for the part of the World Cup, but predominantly becoming a test bowler, and let the likes of, you know, there is a few newcomers, Shivam Mavi getting his debut.
Umran Malik will be definitely picked, I think. Prasidh Krishna,
Harshal Patel bowled, you know. I mean, in terms of pace bowling, I'm just looking at, like, you know, the likes of Umran Malik, Shivam Mavi getting his debut. Harshal Patel is already 32, but then Ashdeep is quite young, you know, sort of 23, Shivam Mavi 24, Umran Malik 23. That's the young group.
Yeah.
The next bowling, if you like, you hope at some point, you know, Pinot Rajan finds his form as well, you know, whether it's the IPL or something like that, and he's able to make a comeback.
Talking about bowlers, Srini, I mean, very quickly, I want to touch on both for ODI as well as, you know, upcoming. Our spinners have just, you know, kind of tanked. I don't know what's happened. Barring Akshar Patel, probably because he qualifies as an all-rounder now because of his hits. But Kuldeep Yadav, Chahal was going for runs. I think for us to have, I mean, of course, there is always Ashwin. So if you take the ODIs, I think you do have a dearth of spin bowlers, at least with their current form. But test, we are a little bit insulated because of Ashwin coming in.
Yeah, but that's an interesting one, though, because if you think about it, I mean, Washington Sundar, in the white ball format, is one. Akshar Patel, I mean, Ravindra Jadeja, obviously, if he comes back, will make a massive difference. Kuldeep Yadav, it's an interesting one. I don't know whether to blame Kuldeep Yadav or because the fact that, you know, I know it's white ball, kind of slightly different from test ball, because if you think about it, going back to the test series, in Bangladesh, you know, being sort of picking up 8 wickets and scoring about 40 odd runs in the first game and winning it for India and then getting dropped in the second match, surely he's not going to it's going to do his confidence, dent his confidence in terms of that, you know, having bowled so well, picked up the wickets, won India the game in that first test and then getting dropped for the second test for Jaydev Unadkat. That just seemed like, you know, KL Rahul came out, justified the selection, all of those things, but it just seemed ludicrous that selection pick.
it is that series itself was blighted with a lot of strange selection decisions. And I think it is, as I said, you don't have a settled squad. Even today, people are just figuring out who's going to be in. But if you go back to last World Cup, you almost had the top 5 or 6 nailed. No, there was no discussion. It was one all-rounder that was missing. That was what the main issue was. So, yeah, big year for Indian cricket, but I think they need to get the act together in terms of picking up the right squad and having a settled squad.
I'm one surprise in terms of spinner for me, who's not been given chances is Ravi Bishnoi. That he is definitely one, you know, in terms of white ball. I'm not sure why Ravi Bishnoi hasn't made any of these squads. He's definitely somebody who's like a very good leg spinner. Hopefully, like, you know, this year's IPL sort of, you know, helps him to, like, you know, do a little bit more and get a place. I think, yeah, you think potentially between over Chahal or Kuldeep, you know, you might probably be picking Ravi Bishnoi, but
very quickly, again, coming back to Surya Kumar on ODIs, I think it's a no-brainer. I mean, it's common sense. If somebody can deliver it 120 overs, surely if you give 20, 25 overs, 30 overs for him to play, he's going to pace his innings much better. He's not going to just go out there and lash out, right? So it doesn't really surprise me. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be picked for ODIs, but there was this discussion in the theory, and I felt, well, surely, I mean, if somebody can play T20 like that, you know, ODI should not be a problem.
Yeah, he should. And, you know, the other one, obviously, talking about ODIs and stuff like that, you know, the Sri Lankan ODI starts tomorrow.
Yeah.
Ishan Kishan, his batting in Bangladesh, getting a double 100 in the T20. I think, I'm sorry, in the ODI, it looked like at one point he might actually get a triple 100, but he seemed to be going at that pace. So he seemed to have won, you know. I hope India open with Ishan Kishan, you know, in the next couple of games with Rohit Sharma.
Yeah, left right as well. I think it will really work well, better when he's been playing for Mumbai. So it makes a lot of sense than having two right-handers, especially, you know, all major countries. I mean, Australia has an opening left-right pair. I think it makes sense to put that there.
Yeah, so that's the one. But obviously both KL Rahul and Shubman Gill are also in the squad. So whether Rahul Dravid goes for the safer option of, and this is where we talk about, like, you know, India needs to change the mindset, like, you know, in terms of Rahul Dravid. I know he said that thing about, like, you know, maybe Surya Kumar has never seen him bat. He probably needs to, like, go in the Surya Kumar school of thought in terms of, not play ODIs like this match for India. If India want to win the World Cup, you know, they've got to make some changes. You know, the opening dynamic needs to change. It's definitely, I would go with Ishan Kishan and Rohit Sharma in terms of opening. Hardik Pandya actually needs to start playing more ODIs. And basically, like, the team that's going to go for the World Cup, none of the guys, you know, the Rohit Sharma, Virat Kohli, should be rested between now and the World Cup in terms of ODIs. They could probably be rested in the T20s, anything in India play. But I think they need to play, like, the squad that's probably the likes of Hardik Pandya, Rohit Sharma, Ashdeep as a bowler, Ishan Kishan, Virat Kohli. All of them need to consistently play throughout, you know, up until, because India is playing a heck of a number of ODI this year up to the World Cup. I hope they don't give them, like, you know, this rest and stuff like that, and just let them play. Sri Lanka ODI, I'm hoping, like, you know, India will win through.
And then there is prolonged IPL as well. I mean, it's like 1.5 months or something crazy like that.
Close to 2 months. Yeah.
Close to 2 months. That's what I was thinking.
Over 2 months, in fact.
Yeah, just over two. And, you know, so you have the franchise commitments. Each and every potential ODI player is a captain of some franchisees. So I just don't know how they're going to manage the workload. I think Kohli did a wise decision of stepping down from captaincy. So at least one thing out of his head. But other teams like Rohit Sharma, Hardik Pandya, there's going to be huge pressure. Rahul, it's going to be huge pressure on them to do this, as well as, you know, I think that's one aspect that we all tend to talk about very often. But the impact of that kind of a thing, especially, I mean, block of time placed in front of WTC and ODI World Cup is just humongous.
But it is the opportunity. I mean, for Virat Kohli, this is going to be the last World Cup, you know.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, for Rohit Sharma as well, you know, they've got to focus anyway. We'll see how it goes. I think literally after the Sri Lanka series, New Zealand come over from Pakistan, and so there's another ODI series against New Zealand.
Yeah.
I know the squad's not announced yet, but I'm hoping, like, you know, Rohit Sharma and will play. I mean, what we definitely need to look at is Hardik Pandya. I was having a conversation with someone the other day, and one of the things we were saying is, like, you know, how if you pick India's top five, six batsmen from, I don't know, maybe a decade ago sort of thing, versus looking at now. I mean, look at the likes of Rohit Sharma can't bowl, Virat Kohli really doesn't bowl. Surya Kumar Yadav can't bowl. KL Rahul doesn't bowl. You know, Shikhar Dhawan was there, doesn't bowl. Whereas if you went back, Ganguly could bowl, Sehwag could bowl, Tendulkar could bowl, Raina could bowl. You know, pretty much all of them could turn their arm over in terms of spin and stuff. So India, you know, had this, you could go with four or five bowlers, but then there were also these other players, you know, if you really needed to, who could turn their arm. But you look at it, it's so much one-dimensional players that are coming in terms of, you know, you're either a batsman or a bowler. There's very little, even two-dimensional sort of, you know, in that sense. Not necessarily a full-fledged all-rounder who can do both batting and bowling, you know, all Stokes or Flintoff. But even like, you know, a batsman who can, Joe Root kind of thing.
Joe Root,
That seems to be like, you know, India don't seem to be producing that kind of at all. Everyone is coming pick. I mean, you look at India's current ODI squad, Rohit Sharma, it says on cricket was the right time of break, or Shreyas Iyer. But in reality, Rohit Sharma can't bowl. Shreyas Iyer can't bowl. Virat Kohli can't bowl. You know, Ishan Kishan, at least he's a wicket keeper, so you can excuse him. KL Rahul can't bowl. Shubman Gill can't bowl. Surya Kumar Yadav can't bowl. It's just like, you know, they need to find this batsman who could at least, I don't know whether it's almost like in the domestic setup itself, it's like that, like, you know, they are just going down the route of becoming either a batsman.
Mono-dimensional. And except Virat Kohli in that lineup, I think the others are average fielders as well. You know, only Kohli kind of, you know, because of his fitness, he can throw himself around. But
maybe Shreyas Iyer a little bit you can probably put in there. But the rest, definitely, like, you know. It's, I mean, look at even the likes of Liam Livingstone, etc. Like, you know, that's one of those things in terms of the number of all-rounders England tend to have.
Yeah. Australia, for that matter, in South Africa Test, they had Manus bowl, Steve Smith bowl in the last few stages trying to pick up a wicket and they were turning it miles. But yeah, I mean, you get the idea, right?
So yeah, it's like, you know, anyway, the next season, India versus Sri Lanka ODI series starts tomorrow. Hopefully India start to build the momentum from here on, you know, following that with New Zealand and ongoing. Talking about the IPL, we mentioned the IPL, we'll definitely have a look at the men's IPL and the kind of, you know, the auction Well, I think the more, I know we, at the top of the podcast, we mentioned about the potential for women's IPL starting. You know, I think the dates they're looking at currently is from March, 3rd of March to the 26th of March. So obviously the BCCI has announced, or rather invited, like, you know, tenders or applications for 5 teams.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to, you know, finally get that off the ground. It'll be great, great flip and boost, I think, for women's cricket in India. I mean, it's almost like, you know, yes, it's moving ahead, but it'll be even better. I suspect that will be after the, so March 3rd would be like, you know, after the finishing of the World Cup in South Africa, the T20 World Cup, Women's T20 World Cup in South Africa. I think it's in February to March. So at the end of that, it'll be the IPL, Women's IPL. So it'll be great.
Yeah, they had the auction in February, I think. It feels strange that they, you know, they have set a deadline of 26th January, I think, for deadline to register for IPL auction. And then, they do have February for the auction. And then March 3rd to 26th is when it's going to be played in India. So the weather will also be slightly not the hottest.
it'll be good. So looking forward to both that, you know, in terms of the Women's World Cup as well as the women's IPL. I'm hoping like CSK actually have pick up, you know, sort of apply and get a women's team. That'd be nice to complement the CSK men's team. Talking on the sort of, in a good segue into CSK men's team and the IPL auctions. I know we mentioned very briefly, probably let's probably have a look at the overall auction, and then we'll probably focus on the CSK squad. in a moment. What was your pick of the auction?
I think I would say Ben Stokes for CSK is the pick. I think they hedged all bets, and I think it was a very well contested auction as well. They were, I think that was one, and surprised about, I mean, I'm not surprised, but I didn't know that Sam Curran would break all the records. I mean, that those two were like, I was watching the auction this time because it was holiday season in UK, so you do have the luxury to, you know, watch the auction, but it was very interesting.
Yeah, a few other things. I mean, in terms of obviously, like, you know, from a big buy perspective, you look at it and say some of the biggest buys, obviously Sam Curran going to Punjab and then Cam Green, you know, going to Mumbai, like big money, even more than sort of Ben Stokes. The surprise one for me was Nicholas Puran.
Yeah, I was going to say, was it Nicholas Puran for you? Because, yeah, I mean, he hasn't performed. I think everybody mentioned about that as well. The other, you know, reviewers, they were all quite surprised with what
is the only reason I can see is as a wicketkeeper, you know, whether Lucknow Super Giants. I'm trying to think. Lucknow Super Giants, did you not have Quinton de Kock keep wickets for them last season?
Yeah, I think.
I'm pretty sure it was Quinton de Kock that, you know, he played for the Lucknow Super Giants last season.
Yeah.
Which is why kind of, you know, a bit of a surprise for me that they went after him.
Yeah, I don't think that. I mean, I think that was really bizarre, you know, kind of pick, you know, in terms of as a buy, I would say definitely.
Unless, because I really can't see, like, you know, obviously if QDK is available, he will probably be the first choice. It would have made sense if it was an Indian wicketkeeper. They, like, you know, if they had gone after and said, right, but in terms of the two foreign wicketkeepers, you know, and if they play both of them obviously can't keep. So, there's this new impact substitute rule that's coming in.
That's what it is, isn't it? That's what it is. And he's been consistent. I mean, last year he got 10 crores from SRH and then 16 crores from LSG. But he has been hovering around the 4 crore mark. In PBKs, I mean, Punjab had him for 3 years for I think that's a reasonable price. I mean, if it's four times that, I think, you know, and CSK was bidding, and I was like, initially, what? I mean, CSK said, yeah, we will participate, and they went with RR, and then DC joined in. It was really, I remember that, and then suddenly all of this thing at 7 or 8 crore mark. You know,
yeah, because Ben Stokes at 16.25 was Nicholas Puran 16 is like, you know, yeah. Sometimes this is the thing with IPL auctions, is sometimes it throws some ridiculous, you know, things. I mean, look at Jason Holder, you know, you would think Jason Holder as an all-rounder offers more value than Nicholas Puran.
Yeah. He was captain for their team.
When exactly.
He played, so obviously.
And he went like almost three times less value to that. The other one, actually, one who will be making his debut this, well, a couple of players I think looking forward in terms of debut is, like, you know, Joe Root making his IPL debut. And the
Adam
one.
Zampa, he's played some games, right? Adam Zampa for. Yeah, but he got picked as well.
Well, I think Joe Root's. There's a few actually this time around. Joe Root, Adil Rashid's been selected. Sikandar Raza is another one. I mean, obviously Cam Green and stuff like that they're making, but now I'm thinking about, like, from an established player perspective, obviously this Joe Root plays IPL, you know, this season, in some ways, you know, you might think, sort of, if you wanted to say cynically, look at it and think, like, you know, it's just preparation for the World Cup, you know, so come use this as an opportunity to get used to Indian conditions, etc., in prep for the 2023 World Cup, you know, whether it's Adil Rashid, obviously, like, you know, is a no-brainer in terms of it's a surprise why it's taken so long for IPL franchises to pick him, given how he's been performing for England in white ball. Obviously, yeah. This year now as a World Cup winner, he's been there. Sikandar Raza is another one from Zimbabwe in terms of getting picked.
Notable Indian players who I thought would be picked up was Abhimanyu Ishwaran, Baba,
Aparajit,
and then they were not picked up at all. I mean, I would rather pick an Indian player who has got Baba Inderjit. I think Baba Inderjit was 20 lakhs base price.
Abhimanyu Ishwaran is a bit surprised, especially given the kind of, you know, form he had in the domestic circuit earlier this year. It's a bit of a surprise. But again, as we've said, you've had the likes of Jaydev not going to go for 12 crores. So the IPL auction sometimes just throws up this random...
Yeah, I think it's more of an ego battle sometimes. Jimmy Neesham went unsold, Mohammad Nabi. I mean, I can understand David Malan, who's been having a...
David Malan's again another one in terms of, you know, if you look at it, like, you know, he's performed everywhere in terms of in a T20 franchise all over the world.
Well, yeah, BBL especially, but he's been brilliant.
Okay. When you look at those kind of players and then look at Nicholas Puran, you think, what were you thinking?
Yeah. I think it is to do with availability, Srini, to a certain extent.
That's true, yeah. That's also true.
I generally see IPL auction, I mean, teams are wary of English players and to a certain extent Australian players as well. And rightfully so, because, you know, they have their international calendar sometimes conflicting, work-life balance, this, that. Whereas West Indies don't have a team now, to be fair.
I mean, obviously, the one, let's kind of look at the CSK squad overall from an IPL perspective.
Yeah.
The big buy, obviously, well, not only the big buy, but as you said, you know, CSK put their entire eggs into the basket of Ben Stokes. Wicketkeepers, we haven't got anybody other than MS Dhoni. That's... I'm a bit surprised we didn't go for any of the wicketkeepers.
I think that's why they started building for Puran, I think, to start with. But then when they saw their price as that, and they said, okay, I mean, we are not going to do anything. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, we don't have wicketkeepers at all, unless you are going to, you know, kind of get one of those. We don't have wicketkeepers. Actually,
we just don't have any wicketkeepers. Yeah. That is the only one, you know, which I'm a bit surprised in terms of even the ones that we picked up in terms of, was it Bhagat Verma, etc.
Bhagat Verma, Ajay Mandal, Nishant Sindhu. I think it just goes to show that Dhoni will play all the games.
he'll play. But I would have thought, like, in terms of picking those all-rounders, Bhagat Verma, Ajay Mandal, you would have said at least some second or, you know, another wicketkeeper. I mean, maybe they
released a batsman wicketkeeper. I think N. Jagadishan was there as a backup. They released him last year. It's a bit bizarre. On that front, you're right. I mean, I didn't notice that at all, but they have lots of all-rounders and all that, but no wicketkeepers. Unless somebody like... I can't even think who is going to be that. It's a very strange squad with one keeper. God forbid something happened to Dhoni in the tournament, and we'll be in deep trouble. But I wanted to ask you this question, Srini, if that's okay. I mean, who do you think Ben Stokes is a replace? I mean, who they are trying to back up? Is it Jadeja because of his injury and given what his relationship with CSK has been? Or is it like next captain, we need to address that? I don't know if they would go with Ben Stokes as a captain because of, again, availability, reliability factor.
Yeah, I mean, I think... I mean, this season, I'm looking at it purely like, you know, sort of almost as a replacement for Dwayne Bravo. That's probably where I'm looking at Ben Stokes as a like-for-like replacement for Dwayne Bravo. The following season depends on, Dhoni. If he doesn't, Dhoni isn't going to play, then there is the option of like, well, who's going to captain? It's quite a bit of change. Ravindra Jadeja did it. I mean, again, you never know. Like, a couple of years more mature Jadeja might be a different thing. Or we did have this conversation last time saying, because Jadeja was handed the captaincy right, like, days before the start of the season. Like, it wasn't like, enough time. But this year, if Dhoni retires at the end of the year and they say, right, Jadeja is going to be our next captain, he's got like, almost 6, 8 months, a year to kind of mentally prepare. And, if there is another auction, mid auction, he's part of it. He's kind of the whole thing as opposed to like just being dropped in. So a couple of years, more mature, there is still the option for Jadeja to come back and do the captaincy. But right now, I think this year, Stokes is a like-for-like replacement for Bravo. It,
Makes sense.
and they obviously also got, I think, Kehrani, in terms of experience from a captaincy perspective.
Yeah,
Stokes.
the honey is there. Yeah, as a backup. Yeah, he's a very reliable guy. I think that must be one of the best buys, especially if he can lead the team. He's a really good leader. We've seen him in Australia.
And yeah, Stokes Sahane and Dhoni played together in that
Yeah,
Pune team
Pune Super Giants. Yeah.
when wasn't there. So yeah, it's so that's an interesting one.
You can't forget Moeen Ali still there.
Yeah, obviously,
He's
like,
a
Moeen Ali is
very
still there. And again, from so you look at the captaincy perspective, overall kind of thing, there is all of those things. Ben Stokes can captain, Moeen Ali can do it, Jadeja can do it, Rahane can do it. So there's actually this season a quite a senior core, of people who've had, been through the trenches and have won. So there's actually like, much, much more people who understand in terms of, have winning mentality and have won. Stokes, World Cup winner in both ODI and T20. Ajinkya Rahane, you look at the Australia, obviously Dhoni is Dhoni. Moeen Ali, again, similarly, like, World Cup winner. So there's a bit more core to the team this year.
The other person who just sneaked under our radar is Harry Brook from
Yeah.
Sunrisers Hyderabad, 13.25 crores.
There's a couple of them actually. Harry Brook is another one, and Phil Salt actually, like, who went over to Delhi Capitals
Yeah,
for 2
but that
crore.
Phil Salt is a decent buy at 2 crores because of his, given he played forever in BBL. Okay. Harry Brook, I don't know.
Well, Harry
He
Brook,
just.
I think basically his exploits in Pakistan, the way he churned out runs against Pakistan this test series, that's pretty much Harry Brook. Did quite a bit in terms of, I think, the 100 T20 Vitality Plus, etc. But I think
Yeah.
in terms of the limelight wise, the amount of runs he just churned out in Pakistan, and that's for a youngster to, like, on the first tour to the subcontinent. Yes, the pitches in Pakistan were like a complete
Yeah.
dead tracks, but the way he went about and churned runs, there's some interesting other things. I mean, Kane Williamson to Gujarat Titans. Think Kane Williamson as captain of Sunrisers Hyderabad now going and playing under
Pandit.
Hardik Pandya.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one. Couple of others, the two Bengalis, Shakib Al Hasan and Litton Das going to KKR. That just seemed so, like, so cliched, like, the Bengalis from across Bangladesh moving to Calcutta.
I think it's a franchisee opportunity as
Yeah,
well. I mean, they see
I
KKR would make more money solely selling merchandise in
exactly.
Bangladesh. Yeah.
That's pretty much those boys. Kind of, you look at that and think. Daniel Sams, interesting in Lucknow Super Giants. Obviously, Mumbai Indians. Everybody's eyes will be on Cam Green. Cam Green will be the
Okay.
big one.
Yeah, talking about Shakib Al Hasan, I was watching a video in BPL or whatever. He was just going for a all-out battle with the leg umpire for not giving a wide. I don't know if you guys have seen
No, but
the
I didn't see that.
video.
But his views, you know, I was listening to his comments about how poorly the BPL is marketed, and like, you know, how if he was given, he's actually using the example of, you know, one of the Indian movies, Mudalwan slash Nayak, and say, like, you know, how they, it's like take this, say, like, in one day as a CM, you can change it. Give it to me, like, you know, CEO of the Bangladesh Premier League. I will change the BPL. Okay, that's interesting. Back to this thing. I mean, Punjab Kings, Sikandar Razan, Sam Curran to keep an eye on. Adam Zampa, Joe Root, at Rajasthan Royals. Will Jacks is another one, interesting one to look forward to in RCB. There's quite a bit of the English contingent coming through, you know, Harry Brook, as you said, to Sunrisers Hyderabad. One West, Adil Rashid is also with Sunrisers Hyderabad. So there's an interesting, the Sunrisers got quite a bit of, like, you know, sort of new blood, and see how it'll gel the team.
Who do you think is a captain, though? That's the question. I think, I don't know if it would be Mayank Agarwal. He's like they went after him, 8.25 crores. Not
Yeah,
a
Mayank Agarwal, probably. David Warner is still with Sunrisers, isn't it?
No, he had a
Oh,
famous fallout, wasn't he?
yeah. Did he move to, was it Delhi?
I think he was traded, wasn't he? No?
Yeah, so Sunrisers seems to have lost their way a bit. It'll be
Yeah.
an interesting season. Look forward to it, and it starts a couple of months' time. So yeah, quite. I have high hopes for CSK again this time.
Yeah.
Just looking at the squad, yeah, MS Dhoni clearly, Ruturaj Gaikwad, and Devon Conway probably. That's your three. Ambati Raidu probably. I think between Ambati Raidu and Ajinkya Rahane, they'll play like a few games, but not all of
Yeah.
the games, both of them. So there's your four. Look at the bowlers, you know, Deepak
Moin
Chahar,
Ali.
five, then Ravindra Jadeja, six, Moin Ali, seven. You'll probably, depending on the pitch, Ben Stokes, obviously, eight. Then got Kyle Jamieson or Dwayne Pretorius or Mahesh Dixon. I think at home, we will obviously be, like, you know, heavily
My
loaded towards the
spin.
spin.
Yeah, it will be Jadeja, Moin Ali,
Mahesh Dixon.
Dixna, I think, and then two fast bowlers in Ben Stokes.
Yeah, Ben Stokes will do. And either Dwayne Pretorius, I mean,
Don't.
Deepak Chahar, obviously.
Yeah.
The other one will be Deepak Chahar, from.
Imagine the batting depth. Deepak Chahar can
Yeah.
bat.
I'm having high hopes
Yeah.
this time around.
Yeah, it looks a gun team, except the fact that they don't have a backup wicket keeper. I
Yeah,
think that's
other than the
one
wicket
thing.
keeper, it does look Dwayne Bravo coming in as a bowling coach as well, replacing Lakshmipathy Balaji. So that'll be an interesting one. All in all, yeah, looking forward to the IPL this year. We'll probably cover that more in detail. It's good time to, like, you know, wrap up this episode of the podcast. If you like the sound of it, do subscribe to us, leave your comments on any of the platforms, Spotify, etc. And we'd like to hear from you. We are on Twitter at @11blues, so let us know your thoughts on the podcast, and if there's anything new you would like to do, any new direction. We look forward to, like, you know, taking this podcast. Until the next episode, it's goodbye from me and Venkat. Have a good one, guys. Happy New Year once again.